Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Lord, thank you, Lord, that as we come together, your presence is with us. Lord, just quicken our hearts. Enable us to have ear to ears and eyes to see, Lord, that we may apply your word, Lord, with wisdom to our lives, Lord. They may produce fruit you send it for, because there is power there to change, to empower, to transform us. And we give you praise and honor and glory, Lord, today, because you know, we know you're going to work in us and make us grow in you. We give this meeting to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I've been going through this series on receiving the promises. And just receiving the promises is not just, you know, the way the world sees that. Okay, it's not getting just what we want. Receiving the promises is getting what God wants. Okay, all the promises of God are for us to bless us. God wants to bless us, but not to become fleshy. He wants to bless us so that we can get closer to him and we can do his work. Okay. So we have to understand that really, you know, the fact that, for example, when 3 John 2 says very clearly that, you know, I want you to prosper and be in health. Prosper, not just prosper. Prosper in all things. Can you say all things? What does all things mean? All things. All right. So God wants us to, you know, be successful in everything we do, but with the condition that, you know, what that successfulness is coming from, you know, not just successful, but even in being health, you know, just as our soul prosper. So as we, the inner man, grows in us and prosper, then that's going to be naturally manifested in the physical. Okay, it's not something that we are trying to get from God, that he, you know, is holding on and he doesn't want to give us. The people that, you know, what is holding us back is not God, it's us. Okay? God wants to, you know, give us everything that we need. And even beyond what our expectation could be. But the thing is, the problem is not him. And often that's what people see, is try to convince God to do the things that they need. God knows the things that you need before you even open your mouth. You don't even are conscious of it. Okay? And he wants to fulfill those needs. Because those needs that are there, he put them there unless they got distorted by the enemy. So he wants to do that, but so he wants to, you know, minister to us, but we have to be opening ourselves up so that we can be changed and become the way, you know, is enabling us to actually receive what he has given us already. Often people, lots of people pray to get things from God when instead there's nothing to do with God. You see, our prayer, our fasting, and all these other things is not to convince God to give us what he promised already. Is simply to change our thinking and our ideas so that we can be in the place in which we can receive. He doesn't need to do anything anymore. Jesus said it is finished. And if we believe that it is finished, then we are in the first place to be able to pray the proper way so that we can hear what he's saying, so that we can allow the Holy Spirit to make the changes in us, the word to make the changes in us through his power, so that we can actually get into the place in which suddenly the things isn't there anymore. It's not work. to get things. His work to be listening. His work to be willing. Okay. Now, you know, and this is said, you know, it's all over, you know, just one place, not just one scripture. That's the whole Bible. It's all about that. You know, his plan is from the beginning. You know, at the beginning, things were fine, and then we messed it up, and he's been trying to fix up things since then. But some things need to be resolved so that he can actually, you know, so that we can actually receive what he wants us to have. Okay. And so, you know, the promises, okay, are to make us grow spiritually. And then when we grow spiritually, all the other things fall in place. This is what, for example, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace. You know, the grace is charis, you know, gifts, you know, divine endowment, divine empowerment comes to us. Okay, and peace, which actually means rest. Rest from fear, rest from worries, rest from problem, anxiety, and all these other things. That happens not because we are there panicky and trying to get things from God. It's because we get the knowledge of Him that is changing us the way we look at things, and we can line up ourselves with God. We should be able to be at peace no matter what's going on around us. We can see Jesus was that way. See, Jesus is our example. Doesn't matter what was going on around them. Okay? He was always in control, not what was going on around him. God wants us to get to that place in which we can be that way. And if we, you know, find ourselves that we get moved out of there, we can just go back there. And you know, if you don't have, you are not there. You have to. You can learn. Okay, to connect with Him, because He is the one that gives you the strength and the ability to remain there and not to be moved. You cannot do it in your own strength. Okay, but that is by power, by supernatural power, His divine power that has given us all things in pertaining life and godliness. It's His divine, so it's supernatural. It's not mental, it's not the work you do, it's not what, you know, it's not the physical things you do, it's His power that works in you to manifest those things, everything that you need for life and godliness. But it's always through the knowledge, to the understanding. The word there is epignosko. We really mean, you know, the proper discernment, the full discernment of what, you know, Jesus taught. Really understanding Jesus. Okay. And this is what, you know, for this, that's the reason He gave us the promises. Not to make us greedy and try to be like the world, you know. More you, the more you want, the more you get, and the more you know, trying to get things. No, we don't need to want them. We don't need to want anything. When really you start seeing God operating the way He wants to operate, and who I operated all the time, you are not there needy anymore. When you are needy, that means, you know, your attitude is wrong to start with. Needy people cannot receive, even in the physical. I mean, if you go and see somebody that's really needy, people run away because they suck your blood out. Hello? Well, God is the same. That's a natural reaction. You know, you don't get from God out of need. Need does not move God. Look at the world. I don't care what anybody says. My Bible says that what moves God is faith. Faith is not need. When you have faith, you have no needs because that's all you need. He gives us the strength to operate and to change things. No matter how difficult and how impossible are for the world. That's the way we, you know, they're exceedingly great and precious promises. That we may be able through them overcome or escape the corruption of the world. See, and the corruption of the world is because they are greedy, because they are needy, because they want, and they can't get. Okay. We have to get to the place in which all things comes naturally. This is God's desire. I mean, Jesus wasn't there sweating and working. See, the sweat of the brows is the result of sin. That doesn't mean you do nothing. It means simply that it's not sweating. You're just doing what, you know, you want to do. But you can do that. That's the thing that, you know. But, you know, that starts from not begging God about anything. Not, you know, asking that he fulfills these promises. You know, that means if you ask him to fulfill his promises, it means that you don't believe that he wants to do it. If he promised, you know, he's faithful and he would do it. If you have meet the conditions, and that condition is faith. That means believing. That's the only way. There is no way, no other way to please God, no other way to connect with him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. What does it mean? Well, when you have faith, then you please him. And if you please, you know, he's going to fulfill what he thinks he should be doing. I mean, he's faithful. Okay, that's the way it works. Okay? And so you have to be there and believe that he is. If you don't believe that he is, you can have faith in what he does. Okay? And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the thing you start to do is to seek him so that you get the understanding, so that you get the knowledge, so that you get the experience to be able to move in the place in which you get blessed. And sometimes you have to do things that are completely contrary to the way you think. Because your thinking is determined by the worldly situation and the way the world responds to things. This is important. You know, we had to get to the place in which we really believe. John 10:10. I mean, you had to believe really, truly that that's the truth and nothing, you know, no, it doesn't matter what you see. You know, the thieves come but to except to steal and kill and destroy. And I have come, Jesus said, that he may have life and have it more abundantly. See, any temptation, any problem, anything doesn't come from God. Only good things come from God. And some people distort things. And, well, you know, sometimes it's a good thing that you get trouble. That's crazy theology. Upside down theology. Now, sometimes we can be woken up by the fact that we go through certain things and realize I'm in the wrong place here. I better move out of it. Are you still there? So that, you know, I'm trying to remind you because we are going to move in some new things here. See, the enemy, okay, tries to defeat your faith. And you trying to, you know, first demolish your hope so that you lose the hope. And then you lose your faith. And when you lost your faith, you lost the battle. Okay? The enemy works with the devil. It's a mnemonic for you to remember and to keep it there. You know, the devil works by the four D's. Distractions. Four D's. Distraction. He distracts you, so you end up wasting your time, lose focus, and you end up getting caught up in the wrong thing. Distraction. Deception. You know, he put wrong thoughts, wrong ideas. Did God really say that? Or other things, even words. Okay, deception is one of the things. He is a liar from the beginning. He's a con from the beginning. He knows how to con you. if you don't know the word. Okay? Number three, disease. God doesn't put diseases on you. It's the enemy that does that. Okay? But in that way, he put in you fear, you know, he put anxiety, he put, you know, make you, you know, start looking at the circumstances, having to look at the thing instead of looking at him. And to overcome that is not to give in to those things, because that's what he's trying to do. And the final one, that is disaster or destruction. He comes and messes up things, the situation, or make you have an accident, or make it, that's it. So that you had to cut up and try to fix the situation, and he got you. Okay, those are the way he works. All these things don't come from God. He is there to demolish you and to steal and kill and destroy. That's what it says. You know, but I really think that this the four D's helped you to remember. Okay, the way he works. And for each different things, there are ways that you deal. We already saw before when he tries to bully you, you know, putting the problem on you, when you try to deceive you. So you always go back to the word. The thing is, when somebody bullies you, you don't let them control you. You take a position and you resist them physically. You don't let those things in the physical affect you. When put up inside your head or inside your emotions or so on, you come against it inside you, and you. But in all cases, you had to come inside you, because that's where the real stuff happens. Okay, so that's where we had to work. Okay, and the things that should be giving us the anchor, the things that enables us to not to be moved, even when things look like bad in the world, in the outside, is really that realize that we don't need to fear. Because, you know, John, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overcome you except such as is common to men. So, you know, you are not any different than anybody else. For God is faithful. See, you know, God is faithful. All the promises are there. You know, so you have to trust God that he's going to get you through, because he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So he's limiting the operation of the enemy to what you can handle. And so you don't think about, oh, I'm gone, I'm done. No, you are not done. We are just the beginning. All right? That we had to change the way we think. We had to reframe our experiences and our thinking according to God's way, according to the scripture. And I'm trying to give you here a summary of what we have been covering up to now. Okay? Not only is he stopping the things, but with that, he's going to give us, okay, a way of escape. Okay, so that you will be able to bear. So the idea is, you know, but to get the way of escape is not that it's going to happen like that. You have to be listening. See, the way of escape is given to you by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, you're going to the problem, you're trying to resist, you're trying to fight. Don't need to do that. You resist, you know, you take a position, you hold on, don't fight because you get tired. Lots of people, they think they have to take down everything. You don't have to take down anything. It's been taken down. Jesus defeated them. If you try to defeat the devil, he defeats you because you get tired and he doesn't. Hello? So you have to know that the battle is won and is the Lord's, not yours. And you can keep going because he's going to be backing you up. And if you listen, so that instead of looking at the situation, looking at what the devil is doing, you just listen to the Holy Spirit. He's going to tell you step by step the things you have to do to get out of the mess. But if you are caught up by the problems and the things, you don't have the time to listen. And you are distracted. Okay. Now, Okay. The key thing then, you can see at the bottom line, is we need to be connected with the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit. Okay. And this is why, you know, all our worship and our praising, all our stuff like that means nothing if we don't connect the proper way. It's not the physical thing. Jesus said it in John chapter 4, verse 23, to the woman of the well. There was even somebody that wasn't even a Jew, you know, told it very clearly, okay, that the hour is coming. And now is when the true worshiper will worship God, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such as worship him. So you see, the only way is not our physical activity, not, you know, that's going to move. You know, God wants us to connect with him. When he talks about worshiping here, it's not just a question of going through the motions. You cannot do that, you know, necessarily. You can do all through the motions. Everybody that has all the ceremonial stuff, as just doing something physically. What counts, what is important, is what happened inside you, what happened spiritually, in spirit and in truth. The spirit has to be involved. Your spirit has to be connected with his spirit. See, he wants, see, that's what it means to have a relationship with him. You have to start understanding what the relation is. It's not just a question of, you know, going through some motions. It means simply that if your spirit to be connected with him has to be meeting in agreement with him, has to be in unity with him. Relationship, fellowship, unity are the same thing. So there has to be that unity between you and God, your spirit and God's spirit. So that the two just mix together. You have the Spirit of God working in you. And there is no any hindrance there. You are just seeking that connection, that direction, that perception, that understanding that he has. See, now, you know, worship, the word worship, you know, is the same word that, you know, the meaning is really like a, the attitude of a dog licking the hand of the owner. Depending completely on him for everything. Loving him and being everything in that relationship. This is really the meaning. It's not the way we generally interpret it. We have to do certain things. Okay. It's an inner attitude in which we adore, value, love, and have a high value and esteem for him. Praise the Lord. Okay? This is what makes a difference. And the hour is coming, and it's coming right now, when that is going to be more important than ever. Because up to now, there was lots of 2,000 years of religion that we had to get rid of. Because soon after Jesus left, and the disciples start spreading, you know, just mixing up with all traditions and men's idea, messed up everything, and we now are getting back there, hopefully, with lots of confusion. And we had to clean up all the mess stuff from men and added to it to get back to really the things that works. And that's the preparation that I'm talking about for the coming of the Lord. This is what is going to be, have to take place before he comes. And evil is spreading and becoming stronger and stronger, but you know, God's grace is increasing more and more. And the God's grace, the way it works, is actually bringing revelation and understanding so that we can understand things that were lost for thousands of years. And some of them were never known before Jesus came. So, but you see, and read in the past, you know, the understanding of some of the New Testament was very limited. I'm going to go that another time. Now, see, the spirit of worship must be, you know, operating in us. So we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we have to start recognizing what that's taking place in us to be able to have our relationship, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, implies that our spirit and the Holy Spirit are in unity. Otherwise, it cannot stay in us. It just goes somewhere else. So what we have to do is to maintain that unity by taking off, removing anything that shouldn't be there, at least in a conscious level. And this has to be really, and that's a normal reaction for somebody that is born again. After they're born again and their heart opens to God, the desire to clean up the house is to be there. Because if there is not that desire, our spirit is not, his spirit cannot mix with his spirit. Are you following me? So you see, holiness and cleanliness and everything else is not a question of being religious and going through the things and doing what everybody. It means simply that your thinking and your action are going to line up with God's way, and it's going to line up the way Jesus operated, that he, everybody, all the Jews, all the religious people, everything knew he was a sinner. Because wasn't doing the things that they wanted to do and that they considered to get closer to God. He was doing everything upside down. Or was he? Oh, they were doing things upside down. Yeah. Are you still with me? Yeah. This is where things had to go back for us to be able to get where God wants us to be. The problem is, you know, well, God is not impressed by our words. He's not impressed even by our actions. You know, because our action and our word sometimes means do not correspond to the spirit. And from our point of view, do not correspond to our heart, even if they are going to try to be, we are trying to do the things that God wants us to do. I'm going to show you actually how it's very evident what I'm talking about, and I've been already talking about, you know, the word confession, you know, that is really completely misunderstood, you know, by most religious people. The problem is that we are not perfect yet. Big problem. Okay? But God knows that. See, that's what he's trying to do, is to, you know, his desire, we try to fix people. God tries to fix people, and he's trying to do, but we had the people had to listen and to respond. Okay? He is the one that does the fixing. We had to be doing the listening and the willing to be transformed, okay, to be changed. So this is, but each person has a different place, you know, at a different stage in the growth process. And so each person cannot be done doing the same thing and having the same scale of values and so on. Okay. So, but what's happening, and this is the things that we have to remember, you know, as things are accelerating from this dark side, things are accelerating also with the light side. And that means that if we want to keep up, we have to be committed and respond to what the Holy Spirit wants to do, because otherwise we are left behind and we are not going to be able to catch up because there is not much time left. So we have to act now. Okay? And this is what I'm going to, I'm going to be writing a statement about the visions that I have for the church. And I'm going to distribute to everybody so they understand what we are doing. Okay? And as to be writing, because he had to be able to read it and think about it. Anyway, the idea is, that we, the key thing for us to be able to grow, for us to be able to receive the promise of God, because it's the same thing. Growing is receiving the promises. Receiving the promises is growing. If you're trying just to do things in the for the worldly point of view, you are not receiving God's promises. You are trying to manipulate God to do what you want. And it's not a question of manipulating God to do what you want. It's a question of lining up with God so that he can give you what he wants. Not for worldly reasons. Not to fulfill your lust, but to fulfill your purpose. Okay? Because that's the only thing that's going to work. So going back to that. The fact is, we are not perfect, okay? And our connection can be broken when we are get messed up. So we can break that connection with the Holy Spirit, with God and everything else, and that is where the problem comes. And this is what the enemy tries to do. He tries to put hindrances through the four D's, for us to be able to be tempted, caught up, and just miss the boat. And not be able to instead to move what he wants us to do. Okay. So, it's everything to do with maintaining the fellowship or the unity with the Spirit, with the Father, with God, and with Jesus. And if we go to 1 John chapter 1, it shows us exactly there how what we had to do. This is the purpose. See, that thing is the key thing. That means, that we, after you have received, after you got saved, that's just the beginning. You get inside the door. Now is the time to start working. But not working to get, accepted by God, working so that you can grow with him instead of backsliding, because that's what the enemy is trying to do. Okay. But if you go to John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, okay. See, when if you break the fellowship with the Father, with God, you are in dangerous ground. Because in that case, you get out of the protection of the Lord. Okay? And he cannot help you. And only, and you have to just hope that you break through with all your heart, seeking God so that you can reconnect. But involves, he expects to be able to respond to you, that you reach him out to him with the whole heart, not just half-heartedly. The whole heart has to be caught up into it. Your desire has to be greater than anything else. And you have to be full speed into, seeking God. Knowing that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, that's exactly so. There are scripture in the Old Testament says many things. But the idea is always the same. If you backslide, it's tough to get back. Amen. And you may never get back. There is a price we pay when that happens. Okay? God doesn't want that. It's not that he's trying to be picky or anything else, because he has to deal with you fairly. And he's just. And he's going to give you all the opportunities, but he expects that you reestablish that communion, that unity, that fellowship that is happening when you give all the heart to Him. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, that's, you know, it's much more difficult when you got resistance because you got deceived before. Okay? So, let's start with 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. It says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You see, here he's talking about fellowship. And we should know when we are in fellowship with God, because this is something that we are aware of. If you feel that God is far away, if you are in fellowship with somebody, he's not far away. Okay? He's close. There, you have a relationship, you are in unity, you have an agreement with one another, you communicate with him, he gets back to you. You know, there is communion. Fellowship, communion, unity is the same thing. But this happened not in the physical, happened in the spirit. I'm going to end up falling down here. Are you with me? Good. Let's keep going there. Okay, so, but, you know, if you have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness. So now, you know, the idea is that fellowship, or okay, what's going on inside and what's going on outside, always parallel. Your walk is the what you do day to day, your activities, your behavior, whatever you do, your choices. Okay, when inside there is fellowship with him, then your choices, your behavior, your things are going to be exactly what he wants. Because you are in communion. When you are in communion with somebody, you don't do something that the other person doesn't want you to do. All right? So, see, this is the difference that has to be taking place, and we have to understand that when we don't practice the truth, it's evident by the things we do. But the things we do are not a problem. It's that there is darkness inside us that we are not fellowshipping with him. And so what we have to do is to reestablish that fellowship. That means, you know, that there are all these other things that are in the way we have to get rid of, because otherwise there is not going to be any fellowship. Okay? And it depends on the person, the development or the degree of understanding that the person has. Evidently, you cannot do more than what you understand. But God knows that, and he can judge you according to that. No, God knows exactly what you should know. You may not know it, but God knows it. See, he's fair, and he judges you fairly as the righteous judgment on you, and he knows where you are, and when you are really, you know, seeking him, he knows how much of yourself are seeking him. Is everything that you know that you know about it that you're applying, or just a part of it and keeping for yourself the other? Am I clear about this stuff? Because this is important. But, you know, this goes much more deeply into that. Okay? See, darkness blind us. Light made us see. And so when we walk in darkness, we tend to be blinded. Okay? So the more it's not just ignorance, you know. The darkness is when we choose to go the wrong way. Because even when we don't know that something is wrong or right, it's not a choice. God is not going to impute that to us as a problem. Okay, maybe other Christians would. Because they don't know what's going on us, they don't know how much you know, they don't know what's the right judgment for us. Are you still there? So our fellowship with God, okay, and our walk always together. Now, continue here, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You see, that's what it's reinforcing, which is what I was saying. See, when we are in the light, that means all the in the light is the things we know, the things that we understand, the thing. So if we walk in what we know, We have fellowship with him. So we know when there is an outbreak of fellowship, because suddenly, you know, we don't feel connected with him anymore, is because we are not doing everything we know we should do. Are you still with me? I mean, this is important to understand, because that helps us to decide what is the next step we have to take. Okay, let me continue. We are in fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, it doesn't say cleanses us from all sins. Cleanses us from all sin. Singular. He makes a big distinction here between sin and sins. Different verses are going to show you that clearly and strongly, so that there is no confusion anymore. When you talk about sin, is the tendency to do the wrong thing, because it's in our heart. If you want, people call it the fallen nature, whatever is just the thing is that we, you know, as sons of Adam, tend to want to do things the wrong way. Okay? So, as we walk, let's go back to the scripture. As we walk in fellowship with him, that means, you know, we do everything that we can, and we are open to continue to do that, because all the things that we know, we are trying to do. So our heart is open, and when our heart is open, the Holy Spirit is going to talk to us, and is going to tell us, you don't know that, but this is wrong. So when we know that that is wrong and we listen, we are going to change it. And the blood of Jesus, that goes under the blood of Jesus, because we are obedient and just repent on those things, and it goes. So, you know, we are moving into the sin component, singular, in our life, and it loses more and more ground, because we get more and more of truth, because there is more and more light, because the Holy Spirit brings us into all truth. That's his job. It's not the pastor's job to fix all your mistakes and your error. It's you and the Holy Spirit that should be listening, because I don't know where you are. Unless the Lord tells me that you are disobedient and there is these things that are happening that you should fix it. And then, you know, if he tells me to do it, I say, okay, I will. And I will. Are you still with me? Is that clear? See, this is should resolve any of the problem of how do we get freed, how we get freedom, how we overcome our limited, how we are going to receive the promise, how are we going to grow? Okay? Because this is dealing with people like us, it's talking to believers here. Okay? And it's people like us that need to grow, and to grow, they have to connect, keep the connection of the fellowship with the Father and with Jesus and everything else. And as they do that, the Holy Spirit can work. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit take a hike. Doesn't stay there. Because you don't let him in. Because you don't listen. Because your spirit is not in communion with his spirit. So the fact that it says dwells in you is not really true. Because in that case, you don't let it dwell in you, because it doesn't stay with a place that is not clean, that is not open. When it's not wanted, okay, he goes. Okay? So, let me continue here. Verse 8. So, you are open, the blood of Jesus cleans you up. Cleans the sin in you, the tendency to sin, because one by one, they're going to go, and you're going to move, and you're going to grow, and you're going to be able to get more and more. Okay? Now, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, it's interesting. You know, he says, if we say, the word say. Okay. Say, okay, the word in Greek is hypo. okay, which actually means tells. If we say something with our mouth, but actually that does not correspond necessarily, you know, in general, we're just blabbing. It's not that we are speaking the truth. It's not that we are speaking what is inside our heart. We just say simply, you know, that we have no sin. I mean, we are clean, nothing, you know, like people go around and say, well, you know, I'm born again, I don't sin anymore. Which world are you living in? Okay. The idea is, this is the problem. And some people teach us that kind of stuff. Okay. Instead, here he's saying, if you say that you know and have no sin, the general, still singular, I mean, we have not the tendency to sin, okay? You are, you deceive yourself, and the truth is not in you. That's what he's saying, and not me. Okay? So, this is, you know, is in present tense. That means, you know, that the fact that we presently are not perfect or sinless, okay? And the spirit of truth, if we are not really choosing the right thing, or every minute, we are going to be sinning. Okay? Now, let me continue here. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, plural, okay? It changes. First of all, confess is still speaking. For us, it just means speaking, but it's not the same word in Greek. Before it was, if we say that we are not sin, is hypo. Now it says, if we confess, okay, the word is homologeo. I thought about homologeo before, but the difference is, you see, now you're going to get what homologeo really means. Homologeo doesn't mean you go to somebody and tell them what, you know, what happened or whatever. Homologeo means that what you say and what is in your heart is the same thing. Not only that, also homologeo means, you know, that are say the same thing. That's essentially what they say. You know, who is saying your heart and you, your tongue, saying the same thing. You say what you believe in your heart. Then you are homologeing. Otherwise, you are just saying. Are you with me? Okay, when you understand that, you know, you lose this idea of the confession that comes from, you know, 2,000 years of religion. You know, instead, you know, you're really saying the same thing that your heart says. That means you're speaking the truth. That's what homologeo means. That's what confession means. You are speaking the truth and speaking the same truth that God says. Okay? So, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins, plural, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you see, that's the thing that has to happen. For us to be cleansed, we had to confess it. That means we had to speak it out, agreeing with Him, agreeing, you know, we had to say, okay, you know, you can go around and say, oh, I did something bad, but you really don't think it was so bad because tomorrow you're going to do it again. That means it wasn't so bad for you. Okay, so you weren't homologuing, you were epoiming. Okay? I think that clarifies the scripture, because if you just read the English, it's not very easy to figure out. All right. Continue here. The idea is, you know, that you move from a position of not listening or not responding to responding. And so, you know, you get into the place in which you can receive. Okay? Now, continue here. Verse 10. Yeah, I don't know about that. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, okay, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Okay, so the idea is that, you know, have sinned, the Greek word there, the tense of the verb, is really, you know, that implies that we have done sin after. Okay, we have kept sinning. Okay, so the idea is that we are really doing it, and so that we are not, see, the word here say, that we, the word say here is not homologeo, is hypo. Okay, so the idea here is telling us that, you know, if we are saying something that we really don't believe, okay, we making him a liar. Actually, the liars is us. It's you. Okay? Because you are not saying the truth. You are not saying what is in your heart. You say something to the people, or you can, you know, justify yourself. Okay? So that's exactly the same thing. So, you know, this is exactly the same thing that happened also in the Old Testament. But they didn't explain things from a spiritual point of view. They just, you know, dealt with things on the physical level. And on the physical level, you cannot see this difference. You see, here he's talking about what's happening, not in your action. He's talking about what happens in your position internally. So unless you start talking about the spiritual dimension, you cannot deal with these things. And that's why the law didn't work, because the law was, you do that, you don't do that, and, you know, looking only at the physical. It's not the physical part that you had to look at, it's what's going on inside yourself. That's where sin is. It is not in what you're doing. Now, what you are doing is the manifestation after it happened. And, so, you know, if you don't have the opportunity, you may not even do it at that moment, but you're going to do it later. Okay? So that's the thing. See, so that the important thing is we have to understand that when there is separation, no fellowship, not unity between us and God, the Father, we are not going to be able to have faith. Faith is not going to be there. No matter how much we are going to be there quoting scriptures, no much we are going to try to manipulate God so that he does what he wants him to do, it's never going to happen because we don't have faith, because we are not pleasing him, because we are not seeking him diligently. Seeking him diligently means that we are open to listen to what he wants us to do so that we can do it. Are you with me? So you see, when there is conflict in our heart, between what we want, you know, and what God wants for us, we are not going to have faith to receive anything. And we are going to go around circles. And even if one moment, you know, there's going to be at times when you are in between things. Okay, the Lord is dealing with you, but you're still holding on to the moment when you really read the scripture, you really want to do the right thing, and you just say, okay, God, you know, I'm going to do it. Later on, you are in the situation, and you end up making the same mistakes over and over and over again. What's happening there? Well, it's pretty clear. Okay, you are wavering. James 1, chapter 7 and 8, 5 to 7, you know, and 8. You know, it says very clearly, when you are wavering, because the reason you are wavering is your heart is not set on something, you know, you're not accepted the position, you are not believing the right thing, and so you are there one moment maybe wanting to do what God wants you to do, but the desire is not strong enough for you to give up to the other things. So what happens, you are just vacillating from one thing or another, you are going to be like the wave of the sea, and James chapter 1 says very clearly, let not that man think that he's going to get anything from the Lord. And then they wonder why. You see, so when we don't get things, it's because in some way, in some air, in some things, we are wavering. And sometimes it's difficult for us even to accept some of the things that the Lord is trying to get to us. And we just go and tell somebody else. And the problem is, the reason is that because they've been much of some of the teaching that go around encourage that. Because instead of really being focused on the spiritual thing, they are focused on what you're going to get. See, according to the, you know, the prospering of your soul, you are going to be able to see the prospering of your what you do and of your health. God is not impressed by our needs. God is impressed by our faith. And our faith depends very much on the way we care about being connected with God, independently of the physical things that are going on. So that you can go through awful things, and they don't just buzz you, they just like they are not even there. And it's not that those things come from God. Okay? As I said before. I think we came to the time of closing. Did you get anything today?
Yes. Okay.
I mean, so some distinctions that we made are important because they help you to understand how to take the next step and not to be fooled by the deception that he brings in about, oh, and this is, you know, that preacher says that, so you get, you know, this is God's grace is abundant, you know, even when there's no problem, forget it. God's justice is also had to be there. And if you think that you can, that God is going to break the law for you, you are going to wait for a long time. All right? Praise the Lord. All right. Let's close in prayer for now. And let's ask the Lord to give us understanding and wisdom on how to really continue that fellowship with him that he wants. See, he created us to have fellowship with him. And as we have fellowship with him, we grow from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And from experience to experience, glory is nothing else than the manifestation of the supernatural power of God down here. That's what he wants. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. That if we come to you, by the Holy Spirit, you can reveal to us all truth that will set us free, guide us in liberty, in the ability to receive from you all the promises, because they are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for coming down on earth to show us the way. To be our example, to know that we can do all things if we believe. And we can expect all things to take place. All the promises to be an amen for those who are in Christ, to the glory of the Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.